The Bible teaches that each believer is responsible for knowing, claiming, and living God's truth. This is the reason that we're looking at the doctrinal statement of the Southern Baptist Convention, the Baptist Faith and Message. We've been looking at it for the last 14 weeks, different doctrines. Today we come to Article 13, which addresses the topic of stewardship. You know, when the topic of stewardship comes up, most people automatically think about money. And while money is the primary way that Scripture speaks of stewardship, God's concept of stewardship goes far beyond how we use His money. In truth, stewardship deals with the condition of our hearts. Article 13 of the Southern Baptist Faith and Message states the following: God is the source of all blessings, temporal and spiritual. All that we have and are, we owe to Him. Christians have a spiritual debtorship to the whole world, a holy trusteeship in the gospel, and a binding stewardship in their possessions. They are therefore under obligation to serve Him with their time, talents, and material possessions, and should recognize all these as entrusted to them to use for the glory of God and for helping others. According to the Scriptures, Christians should contribute of their means cheerfully, regularly, systematically, proportionately, and liberally for the advancement of the Redeemer's cause on the earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19 says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And as Christians, the greatest thing God has entrusted to us is the message of the gospel. We literally have been given the saving message of the gospel as a trust for His eternal plan. And we are His representatives to a lost world. But you know, when Jesus talks about stewardship, He almost always does so by using money or material wealth as an example. And there are several reasons that He did so. First of all, it's something to which everyone can relate. Material possessions, money, is something everyone can relate to. We live in a world that's obsessed by money, and therefore, it's something that we all understand. Second reason that he used it is that Jesus knows that how we use our money, which is of no real eternal value, demonstrates where we place our priorities, whether we are living for this world or for the world to come. And third, Jesus knows that because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, each of us will be tempted to misuse it. And that makes it a good measure of our devotion to Him. So when you stop and think about it, it makes sense that Jesus used money, material possessions, most of the time. Almost always, actually. So let's consider a practical understanding of what stewardship is, and then some of the truths which come out of that understanding. So right up front, what is stewardship? What is stewardship? Well, Ron Blue, who wrote the book Master Your Money, he defines stewardship as the, quote, use of God-given resources for the accomplishment of God-given goals. Another scholar wrote, stewardship involves relations between an owner, a steward, a resource, and a purpose for which that resource is to be used. For example, God's the owner of all things. Christians are the stewards of His resources, and His eternal plan is the purpose for their use. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, you probably can quote that from memory. Or once I start it, you can finish it from memory. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, the purpose for the stewardship is so that we can be busy advancing His kingdom. That's the whole purpose of stewardship. That's the whole reason why God places resources in our hands, is so that we can be about and part of His eternal plan, His kingdom's plan. So what is stewardship? Well, it's using all of our God-given resources to accomplish God's purpose on earth. So it's all of our resources. Everything that He places in our hands is a stewardship from Him for us to be faithful in using for His purposes. So, what is stewardship? Well, let's look a little further and consider four evident truths about stewardship. Four self-evident truths about stewardship. You've heard all this before, okay? You'll see, I'm not telling you anything new. Nothing new here. It's all stuff that you've heard before, but it is helpful as we walk with the Lord to be reminded of the basics of our faith. It's good to be reminded. The first thing that we need to think about, we're talking about the truths about stewardship, is that God owns it all. God owns it all. If you're a Christian, an authentic, born-again, regenerated person in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, then everything that you think is yours, everything that you think is yours, is really God's. You don't own a thing. Exclamation point. You don't own a thing. The world may say that you have legal rights to the things that God has entrusted to you, but make no mistake about it. You don't own them. God, He owns it. And He can prove it in a moment that He owns it. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Jesus tells a parable. In Luke 12, verse 16, it says, "Then He spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, well, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." It's all God's, and in a moment, He can just blow on it. And it's gone. In a moment, no matter what it is, it's all His. God owns it all, regardless of what we may think. It's all His. So God owns it all, and God will hold us accountable. God will hold us accountable. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25. You don't have to go there, but it's all about stewardship. That's what it's about. Jesus placed that parable in His teaching about His return. Right in the middle of His teaching about His return, He gave the parable of the talents, where He gave them, where the owner gave some talents, a number of money, a resource to each of His servants, and then He went away. And when He came back, he called them into account to see what they did with it. And they each reported what they had gained, how they had invested or used it. And then there was one that who had the least amount. He didn't use any of it. And he was held in account because of that. You see, when Jesus comes back, he's going to hold us accountable for what he has left in our care. He's going to hold us accountable. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Luke 12:42, it says, "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone is to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more." All of us will stand before Jesus and give an answer for how we've used his resources. So, God owns it all, and he will hold us accountable. Every one of us will one day stand before Jesus and give an account for what we've done, how we've used his resources. And then thirdly, stewardship reveals our true heart. Stewardship reveals our true heart. Many Christians have never come to realize that God owns it all. They may say it. They may know what it says in Scripture, but they've never come to it in their own heart to realize that God owns it all. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that you cannot serve God and riches. You cannot spend your life in love with God and in pursuit of material things. Whatever captivates us so that we spend our lives pursuing it will have the devotion of our entire being. We can't split our devotion. In fact, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21 says that for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How we view and use financial resources demonstrates the true nature of our hearts. And so, stewardship reveals our heart. And stewardship finally requires faith. Stewardship requires faith. When you look around, you see people who don't know God who are prospering. Man, and that can be tough. That can sometimes be discouraging. In fact, in Psalm 73, verses 2 and 3, the psalmist said these words. He said, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm." You know, it's easy to walk by sight and not by faith. It's easy to walk by sight. We get to see it there. We get to know what it is. But to walk by faith is another whole matter. To walk by faith means that we've got to trust. when we can't see what's going on, and we can't see what the end of this is going to be, we can't see how this is going to be taken care of, when we can't see how it's going to be used. That requires faith. We got to trust. We have to trust. Verse 17 of Psalm 73 brings back the proper perspective. Because what the psalmist says, he's going through this thing where he's just all frustrated. He's committed to the Lord. He's seeking the Lord, and all he's having is trouble. He looks out at the people who don't care about God, and he sees how good things are going for them. And he says, "My feet almost slipped." But then in verse 17, he says these words. He says, "I went in to the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end." Excuse me, the prosperity that the person who isn't committed to the Lord has in this world is all they have. That's all they have. So they might as well enjoy it.
Can you repeat that reference?
Verse 17 of Psalm 73. It's when he got with the Lord, when he spent time alone with the Lord, and the Lord spoke to his heart, and then he realized he may be having difficulties, but he has treasures in heaven. He has riches. He has an inheritance one day. So if he doesn't have all that prosperity, the material prosperity here, he has something that's far greater than anything we could have here to look forward to. But the one who doesn't have that only has what he has here. And as much as he has, that's all he has.
And he can't take it with him.
And he can't take it with him. That's right. He says, "I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. Then I understood their end." Well, let me suggest about all of this. Let me suggest three ways to practice good stewardship in your Christian life. Let me close with this. Three ways to practice good stewardship in your Christian life. First of all, analyze how you use your time, your talents, and your treasures. I mean, just ask yourself some questions. Do you really believe that God owns everything you have? Do you really believe that? Because what you believe in that area will show. Somebody said, if you want to know what a man's view is of stewardship, just look at his checkbook. Just look at where he spends his money, where he writes it out to, and you'll see where his heart is. Do you really believe that God owns everything you have? Is that belief manifest in your actions? A survey of your life, the decisions that you make, the way that you use what God has placed in your hands, does that demonstrate a commitment and a belief that God owns it all? And then, what's the priority of your life? What's the priority of your life? Is it making money for yourself, or is it making money to expand the kingdom of God? One of the greatest things I heard was Rick Warren, pastor of one of the largest churches in America. He's famous for the purpose-driven church, the purpose-driven life. Rick Warren has certainly the largest Southern Baptist church, somewhere in excess of 30,000 members. And over Easter, he preaches about 11 services where there's over 40 to 45,000 people that come. His book, The Purpose Driven Life, is the biggest bestseller ever, second only to the Bible. He sold over 30 million copies of the purpose-driven life. And I started thinking, what does Rick Warren do with all that money? What does he do with all that money? In an interview last year, said that he and his wife, first of all, committed to tithing. And then each year, they increased beyond the tithe what percentage they gave to the point that now he tithes 90% of everything that he gets. And you say, well, yeah, but when you're making that much money, you know, that 10% is still a whole lot more than most people. That's not the point. That 90%, he would also have too. And he's chosen to give that back to the Lord, to the Lord's work. 90%, the largest church in America, the most prolific, or I should say, the most successful author with a single book. What's the priority of your life? Is it making money for yourself, or is it making money to expand the kingdom of God? What's the purpose? Why do you go to work each day? Why do you seek to make money? Is it for you, or is it for God's kingdom? Because if God owns it all, you're managing His stuff, His resources. You know, and that's it. What's the priority, and how is that priority demonstrated? It is demonstrated. The question is observing and seeing how it's demonstrated, whether it's for yourself and your purposes, or whether it's for the kingdom. And then also, you know, ask yourself, analyze. Can others clearly see that your desire in life is to expand the kingdom of God? Can people look at your life? Can they look at your words? Can they look at your decisions? Can they look at the way that you use what God has placed in your care? Can they look at your life and see that your commitment is to expand His kingdom? If not, then what would they say that your primary desire in life is? Analyze how you use time, talents, and treasures, and you might be surprised. Well, maybe not. Second, get your priorities straight. Jesus is very clear and He's very plain. He says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not hard. Don't have to interpret that. Don't have to even preach that. Just quote it. It's very clear. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let me tell you about a story I read about two men. One is very wealthy. He's worth millions and millions of dollars. But he's poor compared to his brother. And for material wealth, everything that he has is dwarfed by how much his brother has. For some time, he's been concerned about his brother's soul. Several years ago, his brother had open heart surgery, and he took the opportunity to talk to him about the Lord. The brother told him that he had spent his entire life chasing the dollar. There are so many people who spent their whole life chasing the dollar. Jesus said, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" That brother may be worth hundreds of millions on this earth, but he can't take any of it with him. The other man is a Christian who spent his life in pursuit of the kingdom of God. He's involved at his church where he faithfully teaches and serves. He's involved in a parachurch organization which distributes Bibles around the world, and he's a very successful businessman. Whenever anyone talks to him about his business and about the possibilities which the future holds for his business, he is faithful to tell them that his purpose in making money is to further the kingdom of God. That's his sole purpose. What a difference. One man's laying up treasure here on earth, and the other is laying up treasure in heaven. Get your priorities straight. You want to practice good stewardship. Take a good look, get your priorities straight, and then take action. Very simply, take action. It's time to start serving. It's time to start giving. It's time to start living like Jesus owns it all. And that you're just a steward. A steward who, when the master returns, will be found faithful. So let me ask you a question. As we close today, what area of your life needs rearranging? What area of your life needs rearranging? I mean, where do your priorities need to be realigned with God's priorities? I mean, is it in the area of your time? How much of your time do you really spend pursuing the kingdom of God and His righteousness? I mean, is it in the area of your finances? I mean, are you giving faithfully back to God with the tithe and the offering? I mean, are you giving proportionally to what He's given you? When you stand before Him someday, what will He say?